Join the Toronto Holocaust Museum and its partners for a community-wide Yom HaShoah commemoration on Sunday, May 5th. A moving evening of film, candlelighting, music, and a tribute to survivors we've recently lost. Keynote speaker Yoni Berus from Yad Vashem will reflect on Holocaust remembrance post-October 7th. The program is at Beth Emeth Synagogue at 7 p.m. Register at torontoholocaustmuseum.org.
It sounded like in Victoria, BC, at one of the annual Passover Seders that have become famous in the city's lesbian circles. The Seder is for Jewish women and their spouses or life partners, including the members of a lesbian klezmer music band called The Klezbians. As you heard at that Seder from 2022, the musicians stood in their host's living room and punctuated some of the main moments of the Haggadah story by playing their favorite Jewish tunes, and that, of course, was Dayenu. These seders have been running for a few decades now. They're still by invitation only, and they're kept small. The idea is to keep things warm and Hamisha the way they were when the seders first got started, by women who didn't feel welcomed by their own family's traditional seders, where their life choices weren't fully accepted back in the day, and for sure, neither was it a thing to bring their partners to the seders. 10 years ago, the Klezbians got together as a band professionally as an offshoot of these inclusive seders, inspired by the death of an original member, Donna Murray. Today, the Klezbians are marking the milestone with a seder, complete with their own special feminist and queer touches, the orange on the table, Miriam's cup, and their own curated lesbian Haggadah.
Actually, we changed the prayers to the feminine form of Hebrew, which is hilarious because we all grew up, we know the masculine form just by heart, and we stumble over the feminine form.
Yeah. I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily, a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News, sponsored by Metropia. Now, the guest list at these seders is eclectic. Some are transplanted Americans and their partners. One couple even came to Victoria to get legally married and have stayed. Debbie Yaffe was born in Southern California. She was an award-winning women's studies professor at the University of Victoria. She retired about 20 years ago. She was originally married to a man, but came out as a lesbian later in life. She continues her social justice work. She's a member of If Not Now When, a progressive group working for human rights for Palestinians and also the release of the hostages. Debbie plays rhythm guitar at the band's gigs, which include at Victoria's historic Temple Emmanuel Synagogue and at the city's Pride Parade, of course, and even at Vancouver's Jewish Federation Hanukkah Market. Susan Dempsey is a practicing psychotherapist and counselor. She plays accordion. She grew up in St. Catherine's Jewish community, where she felt distant from Judaism. She has children of her own. When she moved to Victoria, she began to identify as a lesbian and found her Judaism. They both join me now. Welcome to the CJN Daily.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to meet you. We're speaking before Passover, but this will air just before. So happy Passover in advance.
You too.
And happy Passover to you.
It's going to be a very different Passover for many people this year. But before we ask you how you have figured or thought about changing things up after October 7th, we need to go back in history to talk about how your group got its name, and when was that?
We'd had lesbian seders here since I came to Victoria in 1981, and they'd already been going for I don't know how many years. So it's, you know, decades. In 1992, my partner, Donna Murray, took up the accordion, and she started playing Dayenu at the lesbian seders. And just, of course, all the Jewish lesbians have non-Jewish partners, which is pretty standard, I think. So Donna wasn't Jewish, but she took up the accordion. She started playing Dayenu at the Seders. And then Susan
You want me to tell
started.
you? Yeah.
Yeah, you tell your bit.
Because I think Donna was playing accordion, and then Sue, who's another member of the band, started playing accordion with Donna at the Satyrs, and it was intrigued me. So one Satyr, after those glasses of wine, I picked up Sue's accordion and just started to try to play it. And Sue said, "Why don't you take it home for a while?" And so by the next year, I was playing accordion at the Satyrs.
Hey, wait, had you ever played accordion before?
No, I'd played piano before, but I'd never played accordion before.
Because
Yeah.
picking up an accordion is kind of, a very random thing if you've
It
never
seemed
played.
magic to me, especially the way Donna played it. But yeah, so it was really intriguing.
How did you know about going to this particular Seder? It wasn't called the Klezmians then, right?
No, we weren't really a group then. It was the Lesbian Seder. How do we know? Somehow you just knew about it from hanging out, I guess.
Was it in
You
a
know,
community center or someone's home?
it's almost always been in someone's home. We did have it in a community center once. It was a bit of a disaster, but it's mostly been in someone's home, which has meant that the numbers have to be kept low. And now, because there are more women who want to come, yeah, it's always a problem. We have to, because most of us don't live in enormous houses, so it has to be kept to under two dozen.
So we had to make a kind of rule, kind of parameters that people could come if you were a Jewish lesbian or somehow are invited by a Jewish lesbian. So yeah.
And is it always the first night, or do you do two?
No, it's whenever we can fit it in. And actually, I think this year it's going to be the night before.
So the 21st, the Sunday
Yeah.
night, you'll have it before Erev, because.
Because that's when people could come.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things about living in a Jewish country or in space, is that the holidays fit the calendars fit your holidays. Here, the calendars don't fit our holidays. So we have to fit ourselves in best we can.
The first time we ever played before we were the Klezmians, it was Donna and Debbie and me and Sue, and we were all invited to River and Connie's wedding, and
Oh, that's
we
so
surprised
forgot.
them with a song. And that was the first time we ever played in front of people, I think.
Yeah. And then Donna got sick in and she died in at the end of 2013. And we played at her the last day of her Shiva. And then our first public performance was at a celebration for Donna's life in the beginning of 2014.
So is this the 10th anniversary Seder? It must be.
Maybe it is.
What?
Oh, we played with Donna before she died.
Oh, as Klezmians, I guess it is. We didn't get that name. I think I made it up actually, but
You make it up? I thought Sue
I
made it
think
up.
so. It's my kind of
Cute.
wacky humor, but so we've been playing more in public the last few years. We play for weddings and we played for my granddaughter's bat mitzvah. We play at the synagogue. The synagogue loves us. We've played at Pride.
We
We've
just
played.
played at Purim at the synagogue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there a core group of musicians? Like, are you seven of you, five of you, or it depends?
There's at the moment, I think there's eight of us. We've had a couple others, in the past, but they've either moved away or whatever. Yeah.
And let's talk a bit about your Seder habits. Tell me a bit, if you could, about how traditional seders when you were growing up compared to like what you guys put in
Oh,
terms
great
of.
question. We have our own Haggadah that we created. We just
We
made it
took
up.
some bits and pieces from here and there. I rewrote it a few years ago. Everybody, we just do it every year.
We edit it a little bit. And so it's very inclusive. It's inclusive not only with women and queer LGBTQ stuff, but it's also inclusive in terms of like what this means in terms of nature and the seasons and the little bit more pagan aspects as well. And it's short, it's not too long. What else, Debbie? And it's so different from mine because mine was long and boring, and we don't do much Hebrew, just the prayers.
In my family, it was all in Hebrew. It was my grandfather, my father, and my uncles did it all. it was interminable. But and we had, because I grew up in Southern California, so we had a ping pong table that was out all year. We brought that in and covered it with sheets and stuff. And the family, you know, sat around the ping pong table. Oh. Yeah, so every year now we've been redoing the Haggadah, and we, for the washing of the hands, instead of the great aunts walking around the ping pong table, we have a bowl and we pass it along and everybody washes each other, you know.
The other thing we do is we usually go around and introduce ourselves and through our matrilineal lineage, so, which is nice, you know, our names and then our mother and our grandmother. And yeah, it's very sweet.
And it's the thing that you do that you won't say, like, that is taboo.
I don't think so. In some ways, it's quite traditional. And I think I insisted, I love that phrase about the long, I don't know, the long arm and with an outstretched hand. I insisted they leave that in because I really like it, you know.
So do you guys actually play some of the pieces during the ceremony?
Oh, yeah, we play all the songs, Dayenu
and Eliyahu.
Eliyahu, yeah.
And then eventually we do, you know, like Chag Gadiah and all those. Yeah.
And how does the theme of liberation, again, we'll talk about October 7th in a minute, but until today, how does the theme of liberation sit with you guys?
I'm going to let you start, Debbie.
We do talk about being, you know, women and lesbians, what it means to be free or not free. We do talk about freedom for, you know, all oppressed people. And in the plagues, we do the traditional plagues, and then we also do contemporary plagues like racism, you know, ageism, blah, 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 all those isms.
Homophobia,
all those, you know, stuff like that. So we try to bring it up to date.
Yeah. For you, what does it, has it meant for you to attend this Seder and be part of this group?
It's meant a lot. Well, I think for me, I'll start this one. It's it's really helped reconnect me to my Judaism and my sense of being Jewish and having community. It's so it feels like family in a way, and family that we can invite in new family. Last year we met these young lesbians through another person, and we invited them to the Seder, and there's all these women like 60s and 70s and 80s actually, and then these two women in their 30s probably. And so there's something about the intergenerational and for me, I think that's the biggest thing is I've always loved Passover, even when it was deadly boring when I was a kid, but to share it in this way and to have a place to connect with people and just to know we have that once a year at this time of year. And yeah, I feel really, really grateful to have this in my life.
I was so fed up with Judaism from my childhood. I had nothing to do with it until Jewish feminism came around. And that kind of got me more into it. And it wasn't until I came to Victoria that I even had anything like a Jewish lesbian community. So the Seder, we also do something at Rosh Hashanah. So those events, you know, just make me feel part of something, I guess. And like your family, you don't necessarily like everybody or, you know, love them all the same, but they're yours. So that is nice. And the things that you eat, that you only eat then. I mean, it's the only time of year I would ever buy Bloody Manischewitz sweet wine, you know.
Yeah. And where you are, it's not all that easy to get all this stuff.
Well, listen, it's okay now.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I went into the supermarket. I went into Thrifty Supermarket. This is probably 15 years ago now. Asked them if they had matzah, and they said, "Well, it's in the deli with the rest of the cheese," because they assumed it was mozzarella. Yeah, but you can get all that stuff here now. Yeah.
Debbie makes a mean chopped liver, and I'll say that even when that's the only time I ever eat chopped liver.
Do you hide the Afikomens?
Yeah. Yeah. And the youngest person finds it. And oh, what we do is we all bring, I don't know, a loonie or a toonie, and whoever finds it, we can give it to a local charity or something.
Okay, who is the oldest and who is the youngest?
I think Phyllis is the oldest.
Yeah.
She's 86. I'm 81. The youngest are that Lou and her partner, I guess.
Have you ever had any men attend?
No.
No.
Just simple as that. I don't know even if any men ever wanted to attend.
But in terms of, let's talk now about Seder after October 7th. And I'm sure you and many other people have had thoughts about what it's going to be like. So can you start by telling me what's been the discussion, Debbie?
Well, I immediately said, look, we have to do something. We can't not. But you can't assume that we all feel the same way. So what we want to do is something that doesn't make anybody feel like they have to get up and leave or shut up. It has to be open enough that people can say what they really feel. If nothing else, we can do it when we spill the, you know, the wine for the Egyptians who died crossing the Red Sea and stuff. I mean, that's one place that seems obvious. That everybody.
Can you unpack that for me? What do you mean? You mean because for the Palestinians in Gaza?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even the salt water, you know, the tears for everybody who's dying.
I'm just thinking because I'm realizing I haven't thought about I'm in a strange position this year because I'm actually going away. And so I won't actually be at the Seder this year. And a part of me is a bit relieved because I feel a lot of tension inside myself around it. And part of me is really sad to be missing it. But as Debbie often says, there'll be one next year. So, but when I think about it, as I'm listening to Debbie and thinking about it, for me, I have, it's really hard to know who to talk to about this because people have such big feelings. And so I hope that, you know, my voice would be to not have a discussion, not have the Seder be a place to have a discussion, but have it be a place where we hold space just for peace and for people to, you know, be taken care of on all sides of this, you know, so because I think it's very complex. So
it might actually be a good idea to just have a moment of silence and people can just be with their thoughts and feelings together. Yeah, we definitely don't want to end up arguing or, you know.
I'm going to do something that journalists shouldn't do is make an assumption. So I'm going to just apologize in advance. People might assume that because you would be in a more progressive Jewish space, being part of the LGBTQ community, am I wrong? How has it been for you?
Let's just say everybody's got different priorities in this, I have seen. And I've seen that it's very hard for a lot of people to hold compassion for Israelis and Palestinians at the same time. I personally don't go to, I mean, there's a lot of demonstrations and so I don't go to anything that is for one side. I won't go to a strictly pro-Israel. I won't go to a strictly pro-Palestine. I just refuse. I am part of an online group that I've kind of stopped. It's a Jewish progressive group. And I've kind of stopped interacting very much because I feel that they are less willing to give Israel any credence whatsoever.
For me, I just, like I'm with Debbie, like I just hold this overarching belief that this has to stop. What's going on right now has to stop. And whatever it takes to make that stop, we need to do that. You know, not whatever in terms of more violence, but that I just want to be with people who where we're on that plane with it.
I forgot to ask you the most important question.
Oh, gosh.
Miriam, big role in Passover Seders now. What do you think about Miriam? How does she resonate with you, if at all?
My one remaining aunt is Miriam. She will be 100 this year. And she's a hell of a fighter. I love her to pieces. So I always think of her.
It's not something I've thought about except in general. The midwives and the, just in general, that our Haggadah is so much more focused on the women. And we have Miriam's cup with the wine. Yeah.
I think, the fact that she got Yochaved to be the nurse to Moses. I mean, she really, it's her intelligence and willing to take risks and wiliness, I guess. There would not be Pesach without her.
That was beautiful. My aunt is Miriam too. She's 89 turning this year.
Oh, nice.
If people want to understand what you've built over the last, well, say 11 years, how would you explain this to them? What should they know?
Well, first of all, you can do, just if you want to do it, do it. I mean, most of us, I'm looking down the list of who's been, most of us had not played instruments in our adult lives, hardly at all. I grew up with the guitar. I just play rhythm guitar. Donna hadn't particularly, you hadn't, the clarinet.
Michelle had played clarinet since high school.
Yeah. Kath took it up in her 50s or something. So, you can do it, and you don't know what you're getting into. None of us ever, I think, in our wildest, imagined that we would be performing on stages and doing money raisers for good causes and all that, and being interviewed for podcasts. Oh, my God. You just don't know. Just start. I like starting small and building on it. So it's worked for me in that way. And making music with people, like the whole year Donna was sick, and when she died, this sustained me totally. Making music with people is so wonderful. I'm not even a good guitarist, and I don't even care. I'm too old to get better. I don't care. But I love making music with people. It just brings your spirit.
How about you?
Well, so I could say the same thing about the Seder. When I started going, it might have been a smaller group, but the same thing, if your Seder's not working for you, find some people, like-minded people, and just make it up and get together and make it up. Because I think this is really an institution now for us. And even during COVID, I think there was one time when we did it online, and we just, so.
And we did it outside once or twice.
Outside, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. So.
And you can, because you live in Victoria. The rest of us know. But anyway.
Well,
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it's, we always find space. We always make it work. And we never quite know who's going to do what, but we're pretty dedicated. I think that with both the band and the Seder, we're just dedicated to it. Yeah, we're doing this.
Definitely labor of love.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Now, to find out more about the Klesbians and hear more of their music, you can go to the links in our show notes. Don't forget to listen to the CJN's Bonjour Chai podcast episode this week, if you haven't already. That's the third annual Great Canadian Seder episode, with some heartfelt Passover stories from prominent Canadian Jews. And if you haven't seen our wonderful Passover magazine, it was published just a few days ago. Just go to our website at thecjn.ca and you'll find the full digital copy. Thanks for listening to the CJN Daily.